Welcome into the start of hour number three of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We have another hour to go here at the Bread Box, 6210 Asheville Highway. We are inside with the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart. You can stop by and register for free to win it. Heather, I think actually we had an idea for the next time we do this. For the next Mick Ultra Golf Cart, Ron Slay came up with the idea of every time you hit the gas, it spits out a Mick Ultra for you. Is that right, Ron?
Oh, I like this.
That's most definitely correct. And somehow I have to be, wherever it's spitting out from, just tape my mouth to it so it can be like a funnel. And I just, it won't be any of the clean up or anything. I just drink all of it. It's cool.
I like this. I like it. Ron, the innovator and also good co-captain on the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart as he pilots the sleigh week in and week out. Ron, what's your first media days experience like? Also, what's it like being a basketball player at a football player's event?
Well, listen, man, we got Commissioner Sankey on in a little while on our show soon today. And the first question I'm asking him is, why do you all sell basketball so short? Like, it's, as a player, man, this is an extravaganza. This is not only a show, but this is something else, man. Like, football gets it all. And now I see why the SEC sports motto is it just means more. But they need to put apostrophe and then put put a comma and then put especially football. So it just means more, especially with football, because this is amazing, man. As a player coming in here, like, I would be so geeked and excited to see all of the media outlets and everything. I remember when I came as a player, I got on the podium, spoke for a second, Buzz talked, and then I sat down at a table and everybody rushed me, which that made me feel good too. But outside of that, you know, I like to, you know, it's a lot of interviews they get to do, man. You get to meet a lot of different people. So I like that part of it. But as far as the media part, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Like, I never knew so much was put into it, and there's so much of a time schedule that you got to stay on, and you got to scramble to get people to interview. Like, it's fun. It's competitive. You get to meet people that covered you in the past, especially with it being an SEC. Like, all of that is fun, man. So I'm enjoying myself.
I think we're talking to Ron
you guys
Slay.
Know that, Heather, and like y'all yeah. know that. Like, yeah, when do I not like to talk to people? Come on now.
Well, that's right.
That's
right
true. Not a wallflower.
And I watched part of the interview yesterday with Tennessee's Alante Taylor. You got a shimmy out of him, right?
Yes.
So there's a part of you being on the other side, so you're getting part of that conversation too. What'd you think there in that conversation, or anything else that's stood out with the conversations you've had down there?
Loved it, man. I loved the way Velas and Alante represented themselves, the way they represented the University of Tennessee. I think fans will be happy. Coach Heupel definitely would be happy the way they represented and the way they talked. You know, a lot of guys that we've interviewed, you know, when they're speaking to us, some of them don't make eye contact. But these two, they did it, you know, and then stay locked into the conversation, elaborated on answers. And I understand that as being part of the media, you need people not to give the 1-2-word answers, you know, so you can have something to talk about. But they were very interesting, intriguing. Can't wait for the season to get here. I think they're excited about it. It's a new – you can feel the new fresh air that Coach Heupel has brought in and the family atmosphere. We asked Velas about the locker room situation, and he was like, you know, after practices, we found ourselves hanging out in the locker room for an hour or plus more, just conversating with each other, talking to each other, having fun. And that's what I was telling Coach Heupel, that's grounds to success. I don't know if coaches get to see that often, but when guys hang around in the locker room and mingle with each other and talk with each other all the time, like, that's it, because you care about one another, man. And all of that spills over to the floor or to the gridiron, either one. And that team concept goes from the locker room to the floor. You don't want to let each other down, because you know them hour conversations is going to be all about you in the locker room if you end up messing up. So it's a great experience being able to interview those guys. And then trying to reach them, like you said, from a player's perspective. You know, I think that sometimes they let their guard down a little more once they figure out, oh, man, this is a former player or something of that nature. and the conversation flows a little bit more. Here's Jimmy putting Dr. Peppers and stuff on my neck, trying to cool me off because I'm on fire. I'm on fire, people.
I like it. I like it. Hey, let me ask you this too, Ron. Is there anything about Josh Heupel that you walked away from yesterday that either you didn't know or you got a better sense of, just either his point of view, what they're working with, just what did you learn yesterday about Tennessee football's newest coach?
You know what? He did what I would hope he was going to do, like not set a bar, you know, kind of let the play. And I, as Tennessee fans, we're hesitant and we're on the butts of our seats and on the heels trying to figure out what the wins and the success is going to look like. And I think he did great by answering all questions and being relaxed about it, not going out saying we're going to have an 8-win season or set a 9-win season or anything like that, but saying, man, we're going to take it one game at a time, and it's about changing the culture. And I think you got to see that with him. The more and more that he does interviews, especially with media outside of being at a podium, the more relaxed you get to see him. I got to talk to him at the Orange and White game, and I was telling my co-host that, man, he's so much more relaxed when he's away from a podium. When he's at the podium, like he's rushing, it's kind of like his offense. He's talking fast, you know, getting to the next question and everything. But it's better when you get him in a one-on-one setting and he's more relaxed and talking. And then also, I think it helps when he's talking to people that he's familiar with and seeing faces. So as it goes on, I think the fans are getting more out of him. And what I got from him is the things he talked about, the culture he's changing, bringing that family back into it, and getting people acclimated into relationships again. I think that's the biggest part. We saw that missing from Pruitt. We didn't know it was missing from Pruitt, but now that he's gone and Heupel has come back in, it was a lot of mending that needed to take place, not only with staff, but players and staff together and everybody in the complex as a whole. So I think he's doing a great job, and that's what I took from it. He has a foundation of relationships being built. And you know, when you have relationships, like I just spoke about the locker room, you don't want to let those other people down.
We're talking to Ron Slay. Ron Slay's in Hoover with the SEC Football Media Days going on. He's there with 3HL, our sister station there in Nashville, 104.5, along with Brent Doherty and Don Davenport. Tell us about the Volunteers. We're a couple of days away from the first game in the basketball tournament. What's going on there? What are your plans for, by the way, to get there on Friday? But we're very excited about the game against the team from Purdue, Men of Mackey.
Hey, man, I am geeked. All the players are geeked. We're super hype about it. Like, it started with the alumni game. That lit the fire underneath. Now, from the alumni game, you got guys up there practicing on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, getting practice in. A lot of the guys will leave out tomorrow morning, get to Columbus. I'll arrive in Columbus tomorrow. We'll have a practice, and then Friday we'll have a shoot-around. Friday evening, getting ready for the game. And it's that simple. I think what we're putting on the floor is a product that the fans will be happy with. We're definitely happy with. And I've been calling, you know, talking to guys. Jerome Maben will be the assistant coach, so I've been talking to him. And then I kind of put Duke Cruz and Tyler Smith kind of in charge as captains, you know, to kind of, you know, overlook things while I'm not there right now with the team and kind of hold people accountable. But you got guys stepping up, you know, being in their role that they're used to. Juwan Smith, he's settling back in. Chris Lofton, just a hair trigger that's ready to go at all times. So, going to be impressive, man. Going to be impressive. Don't want to give too much away, you know what I mean, because we don't know who might be listening. I know they try to take what we got. I can't let them do it. But
they're streaming the show, I promise you that.
I know they are. That's a fact. That is a fact. But Purdue, we know they're big. We're going to try to box them out, make sure we get rebounds, don't give them second shots. Get on the floor, get out and run, make them guard us. You know, pitch the ball up the floor, let Chris shoot from whenever he got out of the car, you know what I mean? They better have a hand up. Let him let that thing fly and get Juwan in them corners. It's all a throwback. Everybody still has the same game. The wild cards for me, though, are Tyler Smith, man. Tyler Smith, Duke Cruz, Wayne Chisholm, and Skylar McBee. So we should be hearing a lot of McBee for threes to bring back some old memories to bring it to the present.
I mean, if they want to, you know, if they want to trade threes for twos, let's do it all day. They can use those big guys to score those twos all they want if we're scoring some threes on the other end.
But you better believe it.
That was my big question is, does Chris Lofton still have it? I think that is the number one thing I cannot wait to see. He still has the best smile, now a bearded smile.
Rocking the beard
Yeah, rocking the beard looks fantastic. I just cannot wait to see him on Friday.
It's going to be fun, Heather. Like, that's one of the reasons we pulled back last year. And I hope Chris don't get mad at me putting this out there. He was nursing an injury, so we were like, man, if Chris is not 100%, we're not going. Like, it ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that lets you know what the weight he holds and the esteem that everybody holds him in. Like, everybody agreed. If Chris is not healthy, we are not going. So anybody listening, Chris Lofton is getting all of the shots, and he doesn't care. Like, he's had 6'10 guys guard him. He can still get a shot off. So, going to be fun, man. That man has a cannon. And I'm going to tell you what you'll be surprised about. Juwan Smith can still fill it up from the corners, and Skylar went like 7-for-8 yesterday in the scrimmage from three. So, hey, man, be prepared.
B for 3.
All right.
That should be fun.
All right, I love it. The basketball tournament is what we're talking about. Tennessee's alumni team, the Volunteers, will play Friday, 7 o'clock ESPN against the Purdue alumni team, the Men of Mackey. And this event's fun. I've watched it the last few years, so I'm so excited that a Tennessee team is in it. And one last thought, especially from a strategic standpoint, coaching, especially, Ron, you have the Elam ending. How does that change things? You don't play to the end of the clock. You get to a number, and then you play to a certain number. So if you're down big, you still have a chance to come back, or you have to recognize that if you're up big. But the Elam ending, so no clock, you play to a number like you do in pickup basketball.
Yeah, it becomes strategic in a way. So once you get to the four-minute mark, if you're up, you probably want to call a timeout, because as soon as you call the timeout and stop the ball, then the Elam ending takes place, so you got to get the eight points added. This is the reason you need experienced guys on your team. So we got enough guys that have played pro ball and play together in college and have relationships where they understand each other, they understand what we're trying to get to, and all of the buckets count. You know, you can't have no slippage, no turnovers, none of that. Everything counts for something. So I think we got the guys that can get that Elam ending done. And it puts a lot of good energy, and a lot of exciting moments come out of the Elam ending. Hopefully we're not a part of any of those exciting moments. Hopefully we cruise right on through and blow everybody out. We ain't got to worry about that. We just worry about who's going to hit that Zelle button to send that $1 million.
Yeah, Mary J. on them. No drama on Friday night against Purdue. Although there's something about Tennessee versus Purdue in basketball.
It gets weird.
Good.
Hey, Ron.
We're going to be pulling for you. We're going to be watching you. We appreciate you stopping by the Sports Animal Table. No, you have some work going on. Anything we missed before we let you go?
Man, a lot of people that we interviewed got put in the Boom Boom Room. I know a lot of fans have been hitting me on Twitter and stuff asking, have they been in there? They've definitely been in there. Some of them interesting ones with Coach O. Coach O said he would take me to his mom's house in Louisiana and let me eat. I told him it's cool as long as we eat on the back patio and it's screened in, so we ain't got to deal with mosquitoes. Clark Lee was very impressive. Coach Heupel dodged a couple questions in the Boom Boom Room, which I don't let happen. You know what I mean? But, you know, I let him some home cooking go on with that. But I give a hint, man. He's a little clue to what he was talking about as far as I asked him who was the best runner-up in the Heisman Trophy race, him or Peyton. And, of course, he chose Peyton. Like, come on, Coach Heupel. You got to have more confidence in that. But it was fun, man.
I like it. Did you also ask him who's going to play quarterback? Was that one of the questions
you
that
know
he
what?
Was dodging?
I couldn't ask him that in the Boom Boom Room because he wouldn't let me. He was giving me an eye like, don't you put that on me.
You know, he's like, Ricky Bobby. Don't you take this to the hole. I got something for you.
Exactly. So I didn't want him blocking me in the Boom Boom Room, so I let him have it, man. But right now, listening to his conference, man, Joe Milton got to be the front runner, man. You know, you hope Mauer and all these guys can, you know.
There's some buzz there,
keep it competitive, man. But, from what I hear, I wouldn't be mad if it was Joe Milton. So we'll see how it goes.
Getting closer to the start of football season, a couple of days to go until the Volunteers play Friday night, 7 o'clock ESPN. Ron, good luck. Safe travels. You're the best. Thanks for stopping by to talk to us today.
Hey, man, anytime, man. Y'all be careful on that Michelob Ultra. Hey, that stuff is serious, man. I'm going to take Jimmy to the Boom Boom Room and box him out. Yeah, y'all think he can get a board on me? Go on.
Me, SEC Media Days, that's Himes territory, so be careful.
Hey, it is Himes territory. Hey, man, you ought to see this, man. This man like the Don down here. I'm like, hold on, Himes, let me slide in here.
Don. Yeah, Greg kissing the ring when the Himes comes
in. Yeah, does kiss the ring.
I'm down here with the Godfather, people.
You got it. Thanks, Rod. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.